In Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the other passage of scripture we emphasized in the early days. And this is the Sermon on the Mount, the most important message that Jesus preached to his disciples. Again, very little preached, very little emphasized in much of Christendom. So, what are these things that Jesus spoke about, which he said you have to obey? I'm not going to go through the whole of them, but I just want to say one or two things. The Sermon on the Mount begins with one sentence, very, very important sentence. Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit. That refers to humility. The most important thing is humility. Earlier on, Jesus said, he has revealed his truth to babies. What do babies have that you and I don't have? One quality babies have, which you and I don't have. We've got more knowledge than them. We've got more experience than them. But babies have got more humility than us. None of us can equal a baby in humility. That baby, that one-month-old baby lying in the cradle, has got zero pride. If you could look into its thoughts, it's not thinking, oh, how smart I am, how good-looking I am. Nothing. It may be very good-looking and all that, but it doesn't think so. Humility. Jesus said, God reveals his truth to babes. So I remember when I read that verse in Matthew 11, which we started with, I said, Lord, what to do? I'm not dumb. I am intelligent. I've got a good mind and a good brain. But it's not my accomplishment. What to do? I was born with it. If you're intelligent, remember, it's not an accomplishment. You were born with it. Don't think that that makes you superior to anybody. Your genes gave you a certain intelligence. And you're not responsible for it. You got it. And if somebody was born dumb, okay, they were born that way. Don't despise them. So I said, Lord, if you have hidden the truth from the wise and the intelligent, what to do? What shall I do? I'm a clever, intelligent person. Not because I worked to get it. I was just born with it. I was born with a good brain. Does that mean you'll hide things from me? And the Lord said, well, you can be like a child if you want to. Even if you're clever or intelligent, you can humble yourself and acknowledge that even that in the things of the world and all your worldly work and all that, you may be intelligent, but when it comes to the Bible, come to it like a baby. Then I understood the secret. I must not come to the Bible with all my brains and my cleverness. I'll get nothing out of it. I'll get knowledge. I'll get information that I can impress people with, but I will not get revelation that changes my life. I will not get revelation that changes, that helps me to overcome anger, that helps me to overcome dirty thoughts. No, I will just have knowledge that I can preach to others. So I said, Lord, help me. I want to come to your child, to the Bible like a little child, not knowing. I don't know. I don't understand. Give me something in the world, I can quickly grasp it. But in the Bible, Lord, unless you reveal to me, I won't be. What Peter got by revelation, he said, on that revelation, on that rock of revelation, you said you will build your church. Not Peter. Church is not built on Peter. Blessed are you, Peter, because my Father has revealed, has given you revelation. And Jesus said, on this rock of revelation, I will build my church. So I understood that if I want to build a church that pleases God, I need revelation. And I need to encourage people to get revelation from God through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is called the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Dear brothers and sisters, when you read the Bible, seek for revelation more than information. So, for that you have to be, number one, poor in spirit. Lord, I don't understand. I compare it with a man who's poor in money. He's got nothing. Why does he go begging? In India, poor people go to house begging. Can you give me something? Every day. If you tell them, well, I gave you 10 rupees yesterday. Well, sir, that's finished. Give me some more. Every day he's poor. I've seen people like that, the beggars in India. And the Lord told me, that's how I got to be when I come to God. Lord, there are many things I know in the world, the things I know in the Bible in my head, but revelation, unless you give it to me, I'll be empty. Give me revelation that changes my life. How do I know the difference between revelation and knowledge? Knowledge does not change my life. Knowledge makes me proud. Revelation makes me humble. Revelation changes my life. It makes me love my wife. Revelation makes me careful about my thoughts. Revelation makes me careful about my attitudes, motives. Revelation is given to the humble. Then one more verse I want to show you is Matthew 5:20. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Many people who preach the gospel, they will never come to this verse to tell them how to enter the kingdom of heaven. They'll go to some other verse which says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But does that verse clash with this verse? No. You got to get the whole truth. You must take that verse plus this verse. When the devil said, it is written, to Jesus in the temptation, it is written, his angels will protect you if you jump off the roof. And Jesus said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. So remember, the whole truth in the Bible is not contained in it is written. The whole truth is contained in it is written, and it is also written, like the two wings of a bird. If you have only one part of the truth, you will go round and round with one wing. But if you have it is written and it is also written, you compare scripture with scripture, then you fly forward. Otherwise, you don't make progress. You go in circles like a lot of people. So, when you tell people how to become righteous, receive Christ, remember this verse also. You enter the kingdom of heaven by your righteousness exceeding the righteousness of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees had a pretty high standard of righteousness, don't forget. They were upright. But the difference is what? Not that they give 10% and I give 20% of my income. That's not the point. The point is the righteousness of the Pharisees was external. Mine is external plus internal. That is how my righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. Two examples. I'll stop with two examples. The Pharisees, verse 21, did not commit murder. I inwardly don't get angry. That's the difference. Another example, verse 27. The Pharisees don't commit adultery. I don't lust in my mind. Just two examples. You go through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you'll see many more examples. In the rest of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is contrasting what he said in verse 20. Here is the righteousness of the Pharisees. Here's what your righteousness must be. They said, don't murder. I say, don't get angry. They said, don't commit adultery. I say, don't lust after women. They say, don't tell lies when you've taken a vow. I say, never tell a lie. They say, pray. I say, pray, but don't pray to impress people. Pray in secret before God. So everywhere there's this contrast. One is the superstructure, which everybody can see. The other is the hidden part. Anger is something. Ecclesiastes says, anger dwells in the heart of a fool. You may not even express it. You can be angry in your heart and never speak a word of anger. Ecclesiastes says you're a fool. So, if we concentrate on these things, I believe our life, first story, our family life, the second story, and our church, the third story, we will be built on a good foundation. And I pray that every one of us will take this seriously so that our lives and our families and our church can be on a good foundation. And it'll be like salt, that people can get the taste of it. Amen.